Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monstrous. This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners and may be triggering for some. Listener discretion is advised. All right. Are we ready? All right. Right. We're back.
We're back.
It's our June bonus episode.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay.
Okay.
The case I have today is crazy.
Great.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild one. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Today, I'm going to tell you about the Bloody Benders.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. They were a family who moved to a small homestead area in Kansas that today we know as Cherryville in 1870. So we're going to the Old West. So now the Bender family consisted of John Bender Sr., who went by Pa. Elvira, I think that's how you say it, Bender, who went by Ma. John Bender Jr. and Kate Bender. For some reason, John Jr. would sometimes go by Thomas. I'm not really sure how you get Thomas from John Jr., but...
That's what I was going to say.
I don't know. For some reason, every so often...
Maybe. Maybe his middle name.
Who knows? That's like when a guy has the name William, people call him Bob or Bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Whatever. So there's also some different reports regarding the relationship between John Jr. and Kate. So the most popular belief is that they were brother and sister, but there are some newspaper reports that suggest the two were actually married, and neighbors claimed that the two also said they were married. So nobody knows if John Jr. / Thomas and Kate were married or if they were brother and sister.
That's weird.
Yeah. There's some historical sources that suggest the family had assumed new names when they moved to Kansas and that the only ones that were actually related were Ma and Kate. So, no idea. The dynamic is already a mess. So, no matter what the situation was, they all claimed to be family and they called themselves the Benders. Whatever. So now Ma and Pa primarily spoke German, but John Jr. / Thomas and Kate spoke fluent English. So either way, they grew up in an area that spoke predominantly English. So the family, shortly after moving to Kansas, built their home that they also used as a general store and an inn. They had the house separated into two sections, so it's all one building. One section was where they lived. The other was the store, but the two sections were not separated by a wall. Instead, they just had a white canvas curtain hung up to separate the two.
Yep.
And the inn wasn't like what we would have today. It's not like a hotel or anything like that. It really was just one room for someone to rent.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really weird setup. I get into it later. It's very bizarre. But there's a purpose for it. So now, out of everyone in the family, Kate was the one that stuck out to people. This being the Old West and homesteads, you know, being everywhere, people were always traveling through the area. Kate was said to be a very tall, beautiful redhead. So she was found to be very interesting. Other members of the Bender family didn't talk as much as she did either. They were nowhere near as outgoing. So she just kind of... the life of the party, basically. It was said that Kate also had a gift that no one else in the Bender family had.
Oh,
apparently.
God.
Yep. Apparently, Kate Bender had the ability to communicate with the other side.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. She was well known by the townspeople thanks to her gift, and she even had her own spiritualistic traveling show.
Oh, wow.
So when she held this traveling show, she would go throughout Kansas, town to town, doing seances, healing people's illnesses, and communicating with the townspeople's loved ones that had passed on. I feel like she's full of shit.
That's what I was going to say. But you never know. You never know.
Like, it's the healing people's illnesses is what does it for me.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just scamming people. Okay, so we're gonna move on from Kate, and we're gonna get into the f these fucking weirdos that are the Benders. Okay. So first, which how did they get their house in the middle of this homestead in Kansas? So in the mid to late 1800s, the U.S. government had a ton of land that just kind of was like chilling out there in the western part of the country. So in order to fill this land and make use of it, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act into law during the Civil War in 1862. To sum it up, this law said that any adult citizen or intended citizen that had never borne arms against the U.S. government could claim 160 acres of surveyed government land. So basically, if you weren't a terrorist, you could have 160 acres of land.
That wouldn't be too bad.
You would think. There's a catch. There's always a catch.
I was gonna say there's always a catch. Always.
So you couldn't just claim this land, right? You couldn't just be like, oh, this is my 160 acres. I'm just gonna pitch up a tent. Welcome. This is my lovely abode. Couldn't do that. You had to, in order to claim this land, you had to quote unquote improve upon it because they're just giving it to you.
Right.
So you had to build a home and you had to farm on that land. Which, okay, I see the plan. I see the point, but not everyone should be a farmer.
That's the truth.
Hence our story today. So they're basically like, we'll give you a ton of land, but you have to do something with it. You can't just come get it, be a lazy bum. You got to be useful to society, okay? In order to fulfill this agreement that you would enter into, the settler would have to live full time as well as improve and farm on land. Like I said, they had to do this for 5 years. Once those 5 years were up and you did each of those three things, you could file for the deed. Once everything was verified and approved, you could pay a fee of around $18 and the land was yours.
Doesn't sound like a bad deal.
No. They also had another purchase option as well, because some settlers couldn't do the 5 years. For whatever reason, they just couldn't stay in one place for 5 years. If that was the case, you could purchase the land outright after 6 months if you met those three requirements that I already told you about. The cost to do it this way was $1.25 per acre. So for 160 acres through this agreement, instead of $18, you'd pay $200.
Oh, and that was a lot back then.
I converted it. So in today's money, the 5-year agreement fee would be about $573.
Hell, that's still good for some land, especially nowadays.
Right? If you did the 6-month agreement, you'd pay around $6,366 for the deed to 160 acres. So back then, that's a shit ton of money.
I was gonna say, that's a lot of money. Hell, it
It is
is
a lot of
now.
money now, but back then, that was like rich people money. Okay, so it sounds good. Easy land, but it was not as good as it sounded. During this time, there were very few farmers, laborers, or just everyday people that could afford to build a home, a farm, to get all the equipment needed to buy seeds, livestock, and just really anything it required to make this deal happen. So, because of this, most of the land went to cattlemen, miners, lumbermen, and railroad workers. These are not the people that the government wanted to have this land.
Oh.
They wanted homesteaders, people that would live here and actually farm on this land. But they made it impossible for those people to do that. This plan went so far left that out of the 500 million acres that was given by the General Land Office from 1862 to 1904 for this act, Only 80 million of it went to homesteaders.
Oh, wow.
That means that those people that I mentioned before held the remaining 420 million acres of land. It didn't go as planned, people. Like, maybe you should have like set them up with something. Like, here, we'll give you this. Keep it alive and improve upon it. No, not what they did. So if it's not obvious, the Bender family was one of the families that took them up on this offer. So in 1870, Ma and Pa Bender built their small home on the Osage Trail in Labette County, Kansas, which, like I said earlier, is now Cherryville, Kansas. So once their home was built, they decided to separate the home so that way it was not only their house, but also an inn and a general store. A general store sold things like liquor, tobacco, gunpowder, food, all the basics, you know. As who doesn't want to walk into a general store and be able to pick up some gunpowder and some cigarettes, and then, you know, maybe I'll just pick up some potatoes while I'm here.
We need a story like
Okay. The inn, like I said earlier, was not really an inn either. It was just kind of a room that people would rent because it wasn't big enough for more than one, maybe two people at most to stay in.
You're right.
Like, it was, their house was not very big, like at all. Okay, so you remember how I said Kate Bender was well known and she was a popular psychic medium in the area? Okay, well, this was because the area had decided that the Benders decided to settle in was founded by the spiritualistic group that the family had belonged to before moving to Kansas. So they all already knew them. Most of them did, anyway. So apparently, this entire religious group was like fully into seances. They had firm beliefs in mediums, and nearly all of them thought that they could talk to spirits. Like, it wasn't just a Kate thing. It was like almost this entire area. Just everybody out here in the community can talk to ghosts, guys. Okay, anyway. So let's get back to the Benders and their weird ass store in house thing. So this place is really small. Okay, I have no idea how in the world they fit everything into this one tiny house, but they did. So not to sound cocky or anything, but I'm good at a lot of things. Okay. I'm good at a lot of things. But dimensions is not one of those.
Oh, no. Me neither.
Like, couldn't tell you the size of it unless I measured it. Okay. This house was 16 by 24 feet.
Holy shit.
I don't know what to compare that to. I just know it's not very big.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I just know it's not big. That's all I know. I don't know what to compare it to give everyone like a visual. So I have a picture instead. Okay, that I'll
Ooh, let me
send
see.
you. Breaks it up. So the first one is drawn, kind of like a blueprint. So that's the first one. It's like a blueprint of it. And both of these are from books that are about them.
Oh, wow. That's tiny.
Right? That's why I can't believe they fit all of this stuff in there. Okay, and the second one is an illustration from one of the books that, like I just said, and is titled The Saga of the Bloody Benders. So there's that one. It shows you kind of more, like, of how the setup was.
Oh, yeah, that is little.
Isn't that weird?
There's the
Like,
sheet.
where did they sleep? That's my question.
Because on the blueprint, there was only one bed.
Right? It's like one giant room. It's like a giant studio apartment, basically, is what it is. Where did the family sleep? I don't understand. Okay, so for everyone listening, go check those out. Go see those. Those will be on our Facebook, like, you know, normal. So basically, to break it down for everyone that cannot go look at it right now, When you walked in the front door, there was one single counter where you would buy, you know, your gunpowder and your potatoes. And then in that same area, there was a wood stove, because that's what they used back then, and a stovetop, because they had to cook their dinners, right? Then there was a table with three chairs, so someone always had to stand up because there was only ever three chairs at the dinner table.
That's weird.
Right? That's what I thought. Weird as fuck. I don't understand. So one of them was always standing at dinner time. So which you'll see why. But this kitchen area would go on to later be called, are you ready? Quote, the devil's kitchen, and quote, the butcher bender's den.
No shit.
Yep. Now behind the table hung that white canvas curtain that I told you about. And on the other side of that is the sleeping quarters, which are you ready for this?
What?
So funny. Which it's just one single thing. A rude bed.
A rude bed?
Yes.
The hell is that?
I had to look it up because it was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, the bed is calling you names in your sleep, apparently.
Like,
It's being rude. No, a rude bed could be a way to describe like harsh living conditions, like you live poorly, or it could be a way to describe a bed that is rough and like unfinished.
makes sense, but why rude?
No idea.
That's weird.
But it's great.
You said it's great.
Yep. I think that's what I'm gonna call everything now.
You're a rude kitchen.
Yep. Love it so much. Okay. Anyway. So now the house, like I said, was on the Osage Trail, and it's important to know why. Where this trail is was the perfect place for them to set up this house. A lot of people traveled this trail. So it was originally a Native American trail, but now, where it's part of the Midwest part of the United States and would later become the Santa Fe Trail. So it was like the perfect place to put this. The trail was originally created by the buffalo migrations. Yeah, so it's like a natural trail that animals created, you know what I'm saying? So once the trail was then created by the buffalo migrations, it was then heavily traveled by the Osage Indians, hence the name.
Nice.
And at the time of our story, the trail was very dangerous. Travelers went missing along this trail all the time due to diseases, or, you know, some would just kind of vanish because the native Indians were just like, they were pissed off and just sick of people's shit. So they would be like, well, I'm going to make you leave. You know what I mean? Then they would have like, you know, stagecoach robberies and bandits and, you know, just stuff like that. People went missing all the time. So in 1873, the people of LeBec County began to get concerned because even though a lot of people went missing on the trail on a regular basis, there was suddenly a much larger amount of people that were disappearing off this trail than normal.
And here's where the story starts.
Yep. Along with this, neighboring counties were like all of a sudden starting to see a lot of loss as well. Just suddenly, people were just gone. So everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? Why are so many people just dying of dysentery? Like, everybody dies from dysentery, okay? It's the fucking 1800s, but way more are dying more often than there should be. What's going on? And this wasn't like an all of a sudden, like, boom, thing in your face, right? This was a slow buildup over several years. Then there were a couple cases that took place that shook people. Now, it was kind of a slow buildup over several years, right? But there were a couple cases that happened that shook people in this area and the area surrounding it. And it started this entire downfall. And that's why we know this story today, because otherwise we wouldn't know anything.
Are you saying benders or blenders?
Benders.
Okay, so totally not what I thought you were saying. I was like, I wonder why they're called blenders.
No, Bender is like Bender from Futurama.
Yeah, I get it now.
You're just now asking that?
Well, because I was thinking, I was like, okay, so the title of this makes sense, Bloody Blenders. But then I was like, they didn't have blenders back then. I don't know. My mind went totally left. Let's just go on.
They probably did. Oh my God, that's great. Okay. Okay. So the first was the disappearance of a man named George W. Lonker. He went missing while traveling with his infant daughter through the area on his way to Iowa, of all places.
Why would you go to Iowa?
Right. So the next was a prominent man named Dr. William York. He was well known and he was a very respected physician from Independence, Kansas. And he went missing after getting off a train in the area. And he was last seen walking into what would become known as the Bender's House of Horrors.
Ooh, da-da-da.
So Dr. York had showed up here because he was actually looking into the disappearance of William Lonker and his infant daughter. Yeah. So he just showed up trying to find out because I guess they were neighbors. And he's like, where did this guy go? So what caused an issue for the Benders was that not only was Dr. York a prominent man, but he also had two well-known and respected brothers. One, Colonel Edward York, and then Kansas Senator Alexander York. So when Dr. York went missing, Colonel York, his brother, was like, what the hell? And he immediately began and led an investigation into the entire county trying to find out what happened to his brother. Like, he was not playing.
Like he wanted to know bad.
So, of course, the Benders were one of the first families questioned. He was last seen going into their house, but they're like, we have no idea. We don't know what you're talking about. York who?
Right.
So, according to the Weekly Kansas Chief at the time, quote, this is so funny. You're gonna laugh. Okay, sorry. Quote, the old hag sat mum and gloomy, pretending she could not speak, understand, or speak English. Old Bender said nothing. Kate, she was all evil eye, denied all knowledge of the lost. And the younger male villain fooled them with a well-made-up story. His story was that about the time Dr. York went missing, he had been shot at in a lonesome place near Drum Creek one evening. And that who shot at him must have been the ones that killed the doctor.
Of course. He called her an hat, an old hag.
Yes.
Well, damn.
Right? It was good. But yep, the younger villain, he was in a lonesome place and he got shot at. And that's who did it. Mystery solved. So now at this point, the townspeople became really concerned. So concerned that they held a town meeting at the Harmony Grove Schoolhouse. The meeting was about this whole thing, okay? And both male Bender members were present for this meeting. So they knew what the fuck was happening.
Right.
At this meeting, the townspeople decided that they would form a coalition sort of thing and search every single house in the area to find the missing travelers. But weather conditions or like some kind of, I don't know, illness or dead oxen or some crazy ass old shit had stopped them from being able to just do it right away. So when Colonel York, who is Dr. York's brother, and the rest of the search party made their way through the town, when they finally got around to doing this, they arrive at the Bender's house. They notice right off the bat that the animals on the farm were just kind of like wandering around. Like they weren't penned or anything. They were starved And some of them were even dead.
Aww.
So they're like, that's weird. The fuck is going on around here? They also noticed that the Bender's wagon was missing. And it appeared that no one had been on the farm in a while. 3 weeks, to be exact.
So they ran.
Yeah, spoiler alert. The family left town shortly after Colonel York arrived. So, like, right after this town meeting where they're like, we're gonna search everybody's houses, they dipped the fuck out.
That doesn't sound guilty.
Nope, not at all. Like, they knew, right, that it wasn't gonna be good if they stayed in town. So they're like, let's pack our shit and get the fuck out of here before this search goes down. So, seeing all this, obviously they knew something wasn't right. So the search party busted open the door and they were immediately knocked on their asses by a god-awful smell.
Oh. Decaying bodies.
So, aside from the smell, though, everything inside looked completely normal. Nothing was missing other than some food, some clothes, and some bedding. So they're like, what the fuck is going on? And why does this house smell so awful? That is a direct quote.
Oh.
That's how they said it, okay? Now, eventually they figure out where the smell is coming from, which it was coming from a trap door located in the floor of the cabin under one of the chairs at the kitchen table.
Holy shit.
When they opened the trap door, they found that there was a cellar hidden beneath it, and that's where the smell was coming from. So they made their way down into the cellar. No fucking thank you.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm gonna stay right up here. This is where they found that the walls were covered in congealed blood.
Ooh.
Yep, like a thick layer of clotted, just nasty ass, stinky blood.
It's disgusting.
So seeing this, they're like, what happened inside this house? The group immediately then got a shit ton of people together to lift the cabin from its foundation. I'm not really sure how they did that back then, but somehow they did, either way. And they decided to dig into the ground under the foundation as if something was going to be there. They didn't find anything. Because you're looking under the foundation. Nothing's going to be there but ground. Okay, so they then moved this search onto the surrounding grounds. They begin to force their way through the orchard, which, although uneven, it had been freshly plowed. And apparently, neighbors had come forward and said that the Benders were like always plowing this field for some weird reason. Like, you plow a field before you plant something, but apparently they did this like all the time at an
Right.
odd rate. I don't know. So they begin to start digging through this orchard. Like, they went to town on it, dude. Just tore this whole thing up. As they did, they first uncovered Dr. York's body. He was face down in a shallow grave. The back of his head had been smashed in, and his throat had been slit.
Damn.
Shortly after finding Dr. York, they discovered seven more bodies buried inside the orchard.
They're serial killers.
The following day, they found another body with similar injuries. And after this, it became very clear that the Benders were, like you said, a family of serial killers. From sources, there were as few as 12 bodies found on the Bender farm. But because it was so long ago and, the lack of forensic understanding and all of that, there could have been as many as 21 found on the Bender farm.
Holy shit.
The area in which these victims were found later became known as Hell's Half Acre.
That's crazy.
Right. No thanks. Stay the fuck away from over there.
I'm good, my guy.
Right, exactly. So the bodies obviously were in various stages of decomp, and they really only were able to be identified by like specific clothing, jewelry, marks, stuff like that. So of the bodies found, they were able to identify Dr. York, like I said, George W. Longer. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, but I've seen it spelled several different ways, so I could be saying it wrong. They also found his daughter. She was buried in the same grave as her dad. Like the other male bodies found, his skull had been crushed in and his throat had been slit. His body was stripped of everything except his clothing. His daughter was laid at her father's feet. She had no signs of bruises or any violence. She had all of her clothes on, including her little hat and mittens. There it is. It's believed that she had been suffocated before she had been placed in the grave. So, I mean, I guess there's that. They also found a man named L.G. Brown, who was from Cedarville in Howard County. He had traded horses near Lodore and should have had about $60 with him. They were able to identify him by his silver ring that he had on. Next, they found W.F. McCrady, who also lived near Cedarville. He was in the on his way to Independence to contest a land claim. Then they found Henry F. McKinney, who was from Hamilton County in Indiana. He was traveling on foot and was on the road trying to find Independence, where his sister lived. He had been missing since the December before. Next was a Howard County man named Peter Boyle. His body was mutilated so bad that they could hardly recognize him. His widow had only been able to identify him by the shirt he was wearing because she had made it for him.
That's insane.
Yep, he was also traveling on foot and had also been missing since the December of the previous year. Those are the only ones that they were able to identify. The rest remained unidentified. Each of the identified victims were removed from the Bender farm. They had been taken home by their families. Those that were not identified were removed and taken about a mile southeast and then laid to rest. The Benders buried nearly every victim pretty deep into the ground, like far deep, some as deep as 7 feet. Yeah. And anthropologists and forensic anthropologists today believe that there are still bodies buried on the Bender land, just further into the ground. That's because these people aren't professionals at all. Like, these are all volunteers. So they're just like digging around in the ground, seeing what they can find. Like, at one point, they said that they were just poking the ground with metal rods.
What the hell?
Yeah. So there could be a lot more bodies under the ground, and they've just never been found. Yeah. So at this point, you're probably like, what the fuck happened inside this house?
Right.
Because I have not told you yet. Well, that's what I'm going to do right now. So, what the family would do after someone came to rent their room is they would urge them to sit at the table for a meal. They would have them sit in that specific chair against the curtain that separated the two rooms. The fact that it was white, I've mentioned that several times, was very important because since it was white, it made it easy for someone standing on the other side to make out the shape of the victim.
That's smart.
Now, since the light would shine through the curtain and show the shadow of the person sitting on the other side, one or more of the benders, usually one of the males, would stand on the other side of the curtain, so inside the quote unquote bedroom. And then he or they would either take a hammer or a sledgehammer and beat the victim's skull in from behind.
Damn, ruthless.
Right. They would then drop the person through the trap door that was in the floor, which was located right underneath that chair.
They were smart.
Now, once they had been dropped into the floor, okay, the female benders who were inside the cellar would pick up the stunned, bleeding, and quite literally half dead person off the ground and then slit their throat for good measure.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, they had to ensure that they were going to die because crushing their skull in just wasn't enough. Like this whole thing, it's Sweeney Todd, dude. Like, I know you haven't watched it. Okay. Most of our listeners probably have not watched it. It is a musical. Okay. Just to tell you up front, it is a musical. But Sweeney Todd is a murderous barber in London. He has a trapdoor under his barber chair. And after he slits his victim's throat, he drops them into the basement through a trapdoor.
Damn.
You have to watch it. It's honestly, it is one of Johnny Depp's best movies. It is so underrated. Love it. What is her name? It's so good. The lady that played the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland movies.
You know who you're talking about. Yeah.
She's in it with him. She's the other main character.
Such a good movie.
Love it. And this story reminds me of it so much. Like, okay, anyway. So once in the cellar, the victims' bodies were then stripped of all of their valuables, and then they just were left there just to bleed out all over the place. And then eventually the vendors were like, okay, maybe we should go out and bury them. According to one article, there was evidence that some of their victims had actually fought back. But unfortunately, no one ever got away once they were struck in the head. Like, you're done. They found no less than a dozen bullet holes in the side of the house and in the roof, which led investigators to believe that, you know, some of them had shot at the vendors to try to get away. But it never worked. So this part is crazy, and it's honestly rare, but there are a lot of photos of the house and the crime scenes, and then even the hills where the grave sites were. Like, considering the time, it's crazy that there's any pictures at all. So the hills that they used out in their orchard to bury the people under were like the barren, like, prairie hills. Okay. Today, this area is just covered in trees and all of that. So these hills became known as, are you ready? The Bender Mounds.
Damn.
Many believe that the family would stand on these mounds and lure travelers into their home. Yep. Which there were a couple of witnesses to this. One man named Mr. Wetzel said there was a time where he had been at the end and he had declined to sit in the spot near the curtain, the one with the trapdoor. But they really wanted him to sit there. And he said he just kind of felt like something was off because it made Ma Bender angry and she became abusive towards him.
Damn.
Yep. All because he wouldn't sit in that chair. He said that the male Benders appeared from behind the curtain while Ma was like mad and just throwing abusive words at him. And he said after that, he was just like him, because apparently he was with somebody else. They were like, yeah, no, we need to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Another man named William Pickering, and that's one hell of a last name, had almost the exact same story as this one.
That's crazy.
If you go to someone's house, okay, moral of the story, you go to someone's house and they get mad because you do not sit in one specific spot, leave. Leave. Just right then. Don't care who it is. Leave.
Right.
Okay, so it's believed that money was the motive for all this because the Benders had stolen about $2,600 from one victim and $1,900 from another, which back then was a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think money was the motive because from one victim, they only stole $37 and then from another, 40 cents. I think they were just killing people to kill people.
That's what it sounds like.
Like, yeah, I don't... They liked doing it or thought it was, I don't know, a fun family event. I don't know.
Like bonding time.
Right, exactly. That's what I was trying to think of. I couldn't get the words in my head, though. But great family bonding.
Jesus.
Okay. So what happened to the Benders after all this? Well, Colonel York did all the investigating. Like I said, trying to find his brother, you know, what happened to him, what happened to these other missing people, all that. After all of this was found, a manhunt was launched in search of the Benders, and a $500 reward was offered to anyone that could apprehend them. Soon after this, their wagon was found only a few miles from their house, but the Bender family was never found.
Oh, shit.
So many people believe that they were killed by the townspeople, but others believe that they had just escaped the country somehow. Aside from the theories, they have never been found and no one knows what happens to them.
Oh, that's wild.
They just vanished.
That's crazy.
Right? So from the Bender story, like I said, came some theories, but also some legends. So one is that they took a train from Thayer to Channatoo. I might be saying those wrong. I'm not sure. And that Cat and John Jr. slash Thomas got off in Channatoo and traveled by train to Red River, which is where they then met up with Ma and Pa, who had taken the train through St. Louis to Red River. So kind of like a split up and we'll meet back up thing. Detectives thought that they had been able to trace the Benders all the way through Texas and through New Mexico, but that's really the last known location of them. After that, they just kind of, that's it.
That's crazy.
So in articles, the Benders and their home were called many things. Okay. These are fucking great. Like, can we go back to this? Because it's just great. To give you a few, okay? This was sensational and I just love it so much. There was a book published titled The Bender Hotel Horror in Kansas. Another publication was titled The Bender Slaughter Pens.
Oh, that's a good one.
Then we have Hell's Kitchen, The
That's
Bender Butcher. Yep. Like, they had the best fucking reporters, dude.
Yeah, those are some good ones.
Like, right, nowadays we get stupid shit like BTK. Oh, he named himself on that one, to be honest with you. Anyway, I just love it. Okay. Now, I mentioned some legends that have come from this case already, but the biggest one that I've seen mentioned the most was that Kate and John Bender, because remember, we have no idea if they were actually married or if they were actually brother and sister. Nobody has a fucking clue. This is the biggest legend so far, because for whatever reason, out of this entire story, the relation between the two of them is like the biggest mystery of it all. I want to know where the hell all four of them went. I don't care if they were married or not. Like that's not, I don't care. Anyway, so it was odd to people that if they were married, that they had no kids because during this time, if you were married, you had children. So it was weird because they didn't have any kids running around, but they claimed to have been married,
Yeah, that's
which is
weird.
like maybe they couldn't have kids. You don't know. But according to a legend, they did, in fact, have one child. But shortly after the birth, the two killed the infant with a blow to the head. Then, according to Serial Killers Encyclopedia, Alviria Bender, so Ma Bender, had been married several times before she married John. And oddly enough, each of her previous husbands died from a mysterious head injury.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep. Another from all of this is that in, I scrolled too far down. In 1890, there were two women who were brought back to Kansas after being arrested in Michigan, but they were shortly released after it was determined that they were not the two Bender women. Many believe, though, that they were in fact the Bender women, and they just were somehow able to hide who they were from the authorities. So now, what happened to the house? Well, it was completely pulled apart by the townspeople who all wanted a souvenir from the Bender house.
What?
Yep.
No, thank
No,
you.
thank you. I'm good. I do not want that bad juju over here. You can keep that.
Yeah, I'm good.
So today, right, like, nope, new. No. You can have all that to yourself, my guy. Not me. I'll go visit it, but I ain't about to take nothing home. No thanks.
I'm good.
I am not the white girl that dies in the movie, okay?
Damn.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if you might be Mandy though, with your Ouija boards and shit.
I would be. My luck. Hell.
You would walk to the noise. Meanwhile, I'm like, bitch,
Right.
where are you going?
I'm
This
going to
way.
investigate. I'm going to investigate that shit.
No, you go away from the noise, not towards it. That's how you die. You'd be like have you seen, total sidetrack. Have you seen the new commercials for I think it's insurance where they're like, why, where the guy is like, why are we hiding? Why don't we go to like the running car or whatever? And the blonde girl, she goes, oh, let's run into the barn. And so everybody's
Oh
like,
yeah.
oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen
Cannot
that one.
remember what that commercial is for, but it is the best thing ever.
It's a good one.
I'm like, there is a running vehicle right there. Okay. Anyway, side note. Sorry, guys. Total sidetrack there. Okay. So today, if you go to Cherryville, you can go to the museum. There is an exhibit on the Bender family, which includes a set of three hammers that were taken from the home. There's also a blood-stained knife that was a part of the state collection for 90 years.
Wow.
Yep. This knife was found inside the home by Dr. York's brother, and apparently he decided, let me just take this. And his wife gave it to the state after his passing.
Why would you want to keep that?
Supposedly, the knife was hidden. I don't know, right?
Weird.
Like, why would you want the knife that could have potentially killed your brother? Like,
Oh.
I don't know. Like, people think we're weird and we have a really strange, like, liking or obsession, whatever you want to call it. Man, we're not over here taking home bloody knives, okay?
Right. The fuck?
That's a little too much.
Yeah, that's going too
I'm
far.
good. Supposedly the knife had been hidden inside a mantle cloth inside the Bender house. So like, it wasn't just laying out in the open. So this knife was definitely used to kill somebody. And Dr. York's fucking brother is just like, oh, let me just take this home.
It's weird.
Right? So at a rest area at the junction of US 400 and US 169, which is north of Cherryville, there stands a historical marker that tells you all about the Bender's crimes. And this marker says it best. So that is what we are going to end on. Quote, the end of the Benders is not known. The earth seemed to swallow them as it had their victims. And that is the story of the Bloody Benders.
That was worded really good.
Right? I loved that so much. I was like, yeah, Bernie used that because that was so good. The earth just swallowed them. Yep, that's it.
That's a crazy one.
Isn't that crazy? Right? Just, and they just, nobody knows what happened to them.
Yeah,
They just, I don't know, fell off the face of the earth. Right? Maybe one of our listeners will be like, oh, I did an ancestry test and I'm related to Kate Bender. That'd be fucking cool.
That's what I was gonna say. I wonder if anybody did a, like a family tree or something.
Who knows? That'd be pretty cool.
Would be really
I
cool.
don't know. It'd kind of make you wonder.
Are y'all serial
What can you
killers
tell
too?
us? Where did they go? Right?
Right.
That would be my question. Where did they go?
Yeah,
I don't know, it
that
makes
is
me
wild.
wonder because Ma and Pa both spoke German. That was that was the primary language they spoke. So did they go to Germany?
They could have.
Maybe
Went back.
Pa was Hitler.
Oh, shit. That would explain a lot.
Right?
A hell of a lot.
Oh,
That's it, crazy.
like there's no way that he was Hitler, obviously.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
Maybe it's one of his relatives.
Right, exactly. Well, Hitler was born in like the late 1800s. Who knows? Maybe it's Pa's nephew or something. I mean, it would explain a lot.
Could be the way they are.
Okay. That's so funny. Also, I finally finished Jenny and Georgia.
Freaking
I don't remember if I
amazing.
told you that.
Freaking
Oh,
loved
I
it.
was so mad that they ended the season the way they did. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Why would you end it that way?
And the new season's not coming
I
out
was
until
so
next
mad.
year,
I
2026.
know. Oh, it infuriates me.
I know. They left it on a good
So
note, though.
mad. Why would you end it like that? Oh.
Because she's pregnant, but who is she pregnant by?
Is it Joe or is it the mayor?
We'll have to wait till next year.
Spoiler alert if anyone has not watched it yet.
Yeah,
Right?
you
And
just
then her
ruined it.
dad or her stepdad and then her mom. Like what happened to them? Where'd they go?
Don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Well,
You
her
don't think
dad's
enough
getting.
happened in this season? You gotta add all this shit?
Well, her mom and dad's popping up now, so Georgia's mom and dad. Well, stepdad.
See, I feel like her dad didn't actually try to kill them when she was a kid, like she said. I don't think that's what happened.
I don't know.
I think something else went down and like he was framed for something and that's just the story that she gave her. Or like maybe the stepdad did something and framed her real dad so they could be together. I don't know. Because if he actually tried to kill the two, why would he be trying to reach out to her now?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait till next year and find out.
Yeah, gotta wait till next
Fucking
year.
Netflix. Fuck you, Netflix.
How crazy Austin turns out.
Oh, God, I know. I don't have much faith for him.
Poor kid.
I know. Poor thing. I feel bad for him. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I wonder what happens to Gil.
I know, he just disappeared.
I know. He just stood up, walked out, and then he's gone. So I wonder what happens to him. I didn't like him anyway.
I never liked him on that show.
Yeah, I didn't like him. He was an asshole.
Okay.
They did Max so dirty this season, though.
I know, and she's so sweet.
I know. I felt so bad for her. I was like, I feel you, girl. I feel you.
It was sad.
She's always been one of my favorites. Like, I know it's mainly about Jenny and Georgia, but I love Max.
I do too.
She's just so sweet and loves everybody. And fucking Netflix did her dirty this season.
I know. Hopefully next season will be better for her.
I hope so. I feel so bad for her. And I'm on like episode 8 of the new season of You.
I know I gotta rewatch you.
Yep, I'm on episode 8 of the newest season. It's supposed to be the last season.
Yeah, I gotta catch up on
But
that.
they said that last season.
Right.
Now they're saying this season is it. So we'll see how this season ends. But I don't know. It might be. You have
Been
to watch
going
it and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think five. I think it's like the fifth season, right? Fifth or sixth?
I'm not sure.
Something like that. It's so good though.
It is really good.
It just draws you in.
It does.
Such a good show. But yeah. Yep, you'll have to watch the newest season.
Okay.
That way we can talk about it.
Sounds good to me.
Because it's so good. And I just finished episode 7 and I'm like, it was like an oh shit.
Right?
Yep. So good. Okay. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yep.
I don't have nothing else.
Me neither.
Hopefully I didn't ruin Jenny and Georgia for anybody. Sorry if I did, guys.
Hopefully everybody watched it by now.
I would think so, because I'm kind of late to the new season. It's been out for a while.
Yeah.
I think it came out, what, in like April or something?
No. The last season had just dropped not long ago, I don't think. Could be wrong. Yeah, but I don't think it's been out that long. I don't know. It might have been.
I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong, too. Who knows? Either way, sorry if I ruined it. There's so much more than just that in the show, though. That was just a little snippet. There's so much happening this season in that show. It's almost too much, to be honest. It's
crazy.
Like, it's kind of one of those you got to sit down and you got to watch the whole season in one go. Because if not, you're going to forget something.
Right.
Because there's just so much shit happening in this season.
It's so good. It is really good.
Okay. Anyway, we'll be back on Monday. Yeah. We'll be back on Monday for our regular episode. Photos on Facebook, like always. That link is in the description. Please make sure you give us a rate and a review. Make sure you have that subscribe button hit so you get notified when we drop something new. We're getting closer to spooky season, so we'll have a bunch of new fun stuff coming out. Have these monthly bonuses. And who knows what else we cook up.
Right.
We don't even know half the time, to be honest. that's all we got. We hope you keep listening. And remember to
watch for monsters.
And don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.